Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. Great way to find out what's going on here at GPC is to check out your bulletin. Lots of announcements and calendars there to see what's going on. And I also have a few announcements this morning. First, a few about worship today. We are still working on an experiment with gluten-free bread. If you remember, the moans, come on. I said it's an experiment, so we're still working things out, and we have another way that we're going to try next month, so just work with us here. But do know that this morning it is all gluten-free bread, and also nut-free, so for anyone who has allergies, we will be able to include you in participating at the table. Also, we are going to be singing from the new hymnal sampler this morning. So if you would, right now, dig it out. It's in your pews. It's red and purple. You're finding. I know it's going to take some movement. Please help if you see someone who doesn't have one. Find one. Hand them down. They're around. Or share. We're going to be singing from that hymn number 8. In that sampler, and we are going to run through it real quick right now so it's a little bit more comfortable and familiar. Roy and Nathan are going to lead us so that we know it a little bit. So number 8, open it, find it, listen, let's sing, and you can stay seated. Let's try everyone. Great job, everyone. That's one of the new hymns that we will receive in the new hymnals come next fall. Please, that's also a reminder, don't forget if you have not purchased a hymnal plate in honor to celebrate the life of someone or in memory of, the Public Worship Committee will be outside the sanctuary. And I have one other announcement. It has a prop. Someone found a key. If it's yours, let me know. It'll be in my pocket. So check your pockets if you're missing a key. Silver, black on top. I have it. Okay.
Good morning. I have two announcements, so I'll put on my first hat. The first one is for the women's retreat. Anybody who's participating next week, there are packets out in the foyer by the glass doors on the small table. You'll find there a packet with your name on it, so if you'll pick those up, and then you'll know kind of what's going on next week. Number two, second hat, Church Mouse Bazaar is in 2 weeks. I want to thank everyone who has signed up so far. It's been wonderful response. We appreciate it, but we still need a little more help in a few areas. So if you get this little thing out in your bulletin, we need help on Friday evening, taking everything out of the rooms. It doesn't take very long because we do part of that during the day as well. We also need baked food. If you would bring yours in on Friday, that would be great. Saturday by 10 a.m., and Helen Priestley could still use a few more people selling those baked food goods. And then also, Margie McKnight needs help in the snack food booth or bar. And she needs maybe one or two people at 7:30 in the morning to help put sandwiches together, but 11 to 1 and 1 to 3. And, you know, if, and anything you can do to help. If you'd like to help, please sign up. We can use your help. Thank you.
I will be selling tickets after worship in the Fellowship Hall for the Women's Candlelight Dinner. It's going to be at Brooklee Country Club on December 11th, and it's $18 a ticket.
Thank you. Great announcement. All right, also a reminder, next Sunday is Stewardship Dedication Sunday. If you, like myself, have lost your pledge card and your time and talent sheet, please know that you can receive them the morning of, but you can also contact the office and we can give you a new one. Now, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our whole entire selves to worship our holy God.
Good morning. Please stand as you are able for the call to worship. Come into the land of God. Come seeking the land of love. Live as the people of Christ. We gather to grow as a community of love. Follow in the ways of the Lord. We move forward on the path of love. Come, young and old, friend and foreigner, for all are welcome here. We come to live and grow in the love of Christ. Praise God for this wonderful gift.
We come to God this morning with all that we are, all our joy and all of our brokenness. Let us share with God and one another a prayer of confession. Helper God, be the hope that overcomes our despair. Be the love that overcomes our hatred. Be the mercy that overcomes our sin. Set us free from the prisons of our own making and release us from the bonds that bind us. Forgive us and watch over us. Welcome us home into the loving arms of your mercy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now let us share in a time of silent prayer. Words of welcome from the voices of children indicate that we are not far from the kingdom of God, for in Christ we are given grace and forgiveness. Praise God for this marvelous gift. Amen. And now the voices and the bodies of those children are welcome to come forward at this time. So I have a question. It's always dangerous when I do this, but I think I'm ready. We all at home and school have something called rules. Do you guys know about those? Yes? Look at those. Nope. Some. Nope. Okay. What are some of the rules that you have to follow at home? No hitting. Great rule. No jumping on the bed. Yes, we have that one too. No eating paper. Yeah, that's a good rule. All right. What rule do you have at home? No slapping people. Yes. No running inside. How about rules at school? Do you have rules at school or daycare? No wrestling. Yes. What, do you have a rule at school? No knocking chairs down. That's a good rule. Yes. No running in the hallways, yes. Do you have a rule at school you have to follow? Yes. You don't remember. That's okay. All right. Look at all these rules. We have so many rules to follow. And did you know that the Bible is also full of rules upon rules upon rules? Tons of them. And in the story you all are going to talk about in Sunday this school this morning, Jesus gives us only rules. Just two. They're really easy. You ready? Love your neighbor as yourself and love God. Wouldn't it be easy if we could just follow those two rules? But all of the rules that we have at home and at school, all of those rules help us every day to remember how to love our neighbor. Does anyone have any rules of how we help to remember how we love God? How do we do that? How do we love God? Be nice to God. Yes, most definitely. How do you show your love for God? Read the Bible a lot. That's great. Yes. God is in the Bible. Yes. Is there a hand? Yes. Helping others. Exactly. One of the ways that we show our love for God is by loving each other. So this week, I would love for you to talk with your families about how some of the rules in your house show love for God. Okay, you guys think you can do that? Yeah? All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for showing us your love. Help us to show it to each other. Amen. Have fun in Sunday school this morning. Okay, well, good.
The first reading of the word comes from Mark 12, verses 28 through 34. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked them, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any question.
Second scripture reading this morning is the story of another weary traveler. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died. and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. When they lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughter-in-laws from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughter-in-laws, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go back, each of you, to your own mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and me. The Lord grant you that you may find security, each of you in the house of your husband." And she kissed them, and they wept aloud. He said to her, "No, no, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why? Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. Biblical scholar and author, also pastor in the African Methodist Church, Renita Weems reflects on her first encounter with a grieving widow. It's a familiar story for any of us that have journeyed with those who have suffered loss. But prior to visiting, Renita was offered just a friendly warning by well-meaning friends that the woman she was going to visit was consumed by the memory of her husband. Sitting in the living room with a woman she hardly knew, they pored over photo albums full of pictures of the couple's life together. The woman told stories of courtship and marriage, the good times and the bad, the disagreements and the idiosyncrasies he had, always those precious idiosyncrasies, and the dreadful details of his fatal heart attack. Renita sat with the woman. She laughed with her and cried with her, shook her head, and several times the woman wondered out loud how she was going to make it without her husband. How? she was going to go on without him. And Renita didn't try and convince the woman that everything was going to be okay. She didn't offer any unhelpful cliches about God having a plan or everything happens for a reason. Renita got close enough to really be present, to listen. She got close enough when most of the woman's friends from church had grown weary of the endless stories or were uncomfortable with the tragedy altogether and so avoided her by offering that friendly wave across the church parking lot. From time to time, as Renita listened, the woman would also stop and apologize and plead, "Forgive me. I know you don't want to hear all of this." And all it took was a smile and a reassuring word for the woman to continue her storytelling. As Renita reflected on this experience, she wondered, what was this woman supposed to do with all that love she could no longer express to a man who was now dead? He was gone, but her capacity to receive and give love had not diminished. This love, her life, connection to relationship, had shifted away from its usual place. The widow was a displaced woman trying to find her way home again. We have watched this week the images of many people experiencing the physical, emotional, and spiritual effects of displacement as Hurricane Sandy destroyed homes and belongings and took the lives of many loved ones. You may know for your own self displacement, what it's like when someone you love, someone close to you, dies, or the loss of a job, the loss of a child, or having to leave your home because it was destroyed by fire or flood, or perhaps leaving a home country in search for better opportunities. The Bible, too, is full of stories of displacement. Think about it for a minute. Adam and Eve from the garden. Noah and his family following a big storm. The Israelite people hoping for a better life. And don't forget, in a few weeks, we will talk about that swaddled baby in a manger with his parents, fleeing a tyrant ruler who orders the execution of all the small children in the region. Now, for nations, or sometimes groups of people, there are attempts to restore this loss of identity and land and authority that comes with these times of displacement through ethnic purification and warfare. And this is what is going on in Israel as the famine strikes and the people seek out ways to take care of their own. Naomi and Elimelech take their two boys, Nahon and Chilion, and they make a different choice. They leave Bethlehem, which ironically means the house of bread or food, in search of a place where they can take care of themselves and their children. And the family settles in a border country, Moab. This is the land of Israel's bitter enemies. These are the very foreigners that Israel is trying to violently eliminate from their land and families. So sure, there might be food, but I wonder what kind of persecution this displaced family experiences. And then, to make matters worse, while in Moab, Naomi's husband dies. And then their two sons marry two Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. This intermarrying is exactly what the Israelite people were trying to eliminate. So we have no idea how Naomi dealt with these two daughter-in-laws. How did she treat them? Was there an undercurrent of pain, resentment? Just when we're tempted to start making jokes about mother-in-laws, which I won't, because mine's here this morning. So, pray for that. But seriously, how much can one woman endure? Naomi loses her home, her husband, and now her only children. Who can blame this woman for processing her experiences of displacement as God's punishment in her life and being bitter towards it all? Naomi perceives herself to be forced from her land by famine, from her family by death, and she believes that she's alone, without a future, and so gathers up the human experience of despair in these first five verses and sets out on a journey to the possibility that there might be hope and a community that will care for her in her home. The recent widows themselves, Orpah and Ruth, also set out on this journey with their mother-in-law, and Naomi tries to send them back. Let's not be too judgmental of Orpah when she finally does turn back around. It was a practical decision, one that trusted the wisdom of this old woman, that Orpah may indeed have many years ahead of her that could include finding a husband, having children, and a life for herself. But not everyone can go home like Orpah. Ruth saw a different plan for herself, one that included journeying with this woman, her mother-in-law, who she technically no longer had legal or familiar ties to. And this woman, Naomi, who was so emotionally and physically and spiritually displaced by her grief and loss, she could do nothing but be present in her bitterness and tell the stories of a life that was. And this is the life that Ruth chooses. It is Ruth who commits herself to a woman who, for all practical purposes, has nothing to give her in return. The young woman was willing to choose her own displacement, to give up any hope she had for a future husband and children, and to follow this old woman to a strange land, in a place where the people may very well take her life. It begs the question, why? Why would Ruth do this? The narrator of the book does not say. But perhaps we might be so inclined to believe that Ruth is someone who can get past her own discomfort of the bitterness and grief of Naomi and sit with her as she tells her stories over and over again. Ruth is willing to hold Naomi's hand, to walk with her and assure her that she doesn't need to apologize for reliving the love, the suffering, or the grief. Ruth isn't interested in what Naomi could or couldn't do in terms of providing food or prospects for another husband, wealth, or security. Ruth's promise is to love Naomi, to love Naomi for all that she is, wherever she will go, and whatever anguish and danger and hardships that might be in front of them. We're in the darkest moment of the text here. And notice something else. No angel of mercy comes to the women's defense. No booming voice of God with words of wisdom or assurance. Interestingly, God is often noted to be in the very background of this text, so much so that it's a miracle that Ruth is in the biblical canon at all, except for the fact that Ruth will turn out to be the great-great-great-grandmother of a very special child who is the Son of God, a God who chooses to be displaced from heavenly comfort and journey with a people overwhelmed by brokenness and sin, a God who wants more than anything else for us to love, to be the divine bearers of that love in this world by loving God and loving each other. We know that as Jesus speaks this commandment in the Gospel of Mark, we also know it won't be long before love is crucified. And we wonder why life is so hard and why something as beautiful as love has to suffer. And meanwhile, most of us would confess that life without love is probably more than we can bear, but know also that love itself may be sometimes more than we can bear. Knowing this commandment to love is not one that can be oversimplified or reduced to distancing ourselves from it with cliches. And another question emerges for us. Do we want to get this close? Close enough to close the gap in the church parking lot and journey beyond the, "Hi, how are you? I'm fine," with those who are grieving, those who are bitter and who have nothing to offer you in return? Do we want to get close enough to a God who won't always speak to us in those booming voices or obvious signs of what we're supposed to be doing in our life, and yet meets us in our times of grief and suffering and vulnerability? Do we want to get close enough to systems and structures that seek to preserve the future of a culture, a nation, or religion through violence and oppression? With our actions and advocacy, proclaim that the God who is love is the God of all people? In a few weeks, do we want to get close enough to the manger that we stand at the foot of the cross? The story of Ruth and Naomi and of the baby in Bethlehem suggests that God invites us over and over and over again to get close enough to whatever displacement we might be feeling in our lives, to touch and see, to taste and experience the opportunities that God puts right in front of us. Partner with God in revealing that great love for this world.
May it be so, now and always. Amen.
The one to whom we turn our lives over to has invited us to this table. So whoever you are, however you feel, for whatever reasons you are here, come to this feast. Whatever your condition, whatever your brokenness, whatever hurts you bear, know that our host is the one who teaches, the one who heals, and the one who welcomes. Our Savior invites all those who trust him to share this feast which he has prepared. According to the Gospel of Luke, our risen Lord was at table with his disciples. He took the bread and he blessed it. He broke it. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Friends, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We will sing praises to you all life long, our Lord and our God, maker of heaven and earth, the seas and all that dwell in them. You made us in your image so we might be your people and worship you forever. But blinded by the seductions of the world, we wandered far from your kingdom, putting our trust in the powers that cannot save us. Despite our turning our backs on you, you have clung to us in grace and love, determined to be faithful to the covenant you established with us. Therefore, we join our voices together with the saints of every time and every place, singing our praises to your heart. Holy, 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 Lord God of our souls, heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, glorify your name forever. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one whose help is in you. Hosanna in the highest.
We praise you, Holy God, and bless your Son, Jesus Christ, our hope, our Lord. He watched over strangers so we might become brothers and sisters. He gave his heart to those ignored by the world, so the widow and orphan might find their heart's home in him. He endured death and the grave, so we might be welcomed.
Loving us more than himself. Christ rose, loving God with all that he was. Christ will come again, loving all God's children, so we might be neighbors forever. As we break the bread of life and drink from the cup of salvation, pour out your eternal spirit upon these gifts and those who will receive them. Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our grace, through the Spirit, who is our hope, we honor and glorify your love for all people in creation. Great God, our peace and our joy, now and forever. Amen. Friends, we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those who gathered those friends around a similar table, and on the night before he gave himself to the authorities for his death, and so that they might remember and know God's bread, give strength. He took the common bread and he made it holy, just as he takes common people like each one of us and makes us holy. To remember the act, he asks us to repeat again and again, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." We break bread and we drink wine, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ and the promise of new life. Jesus knew that we could not live by bread alone. He took the cup. "This is my blood, poured out for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Each time you drink it, do this, remembering me." Friends, these are the gifts for the people of God. Let us celebrate at the table together. friends, this is the body of Christ, broken to us. Taste and see the goodness of God's grace. This is the cup of the new covenant that promises to love, to claim, to show us a great love for us that God has and that we are called to show one another. Let us celebrate that love together.
ordinary meal. It's been one in which we have been fed and nourished with your life. May we go from here refreshed and eager to share your life and love with others. Amen.
Amen. Now let us share together in community our prayers of joys and our prayers of concern. If you have any, please raise your hand so the usher can see you and bring the microphone over to you.
Kay Harder here. I just wanted prayers of joy for our son who finished his PhD degree a couple of weeks ago. And is headed out to Maine to work at the Jackson Institute. He received his PhD in pathology at the University of Rochester. Also want prayers for our daughter Mary and her family who live in Bayside, Queens, and went through the hurricane, which I know several families in this church have children there. Hadley's, Rashawn's, Poole's. So, you know, prayers for them as they struggle with everything that they have to deal with. My son-in-law works on Long Island and drives 1 hour one way to get to work. And, of course, there's no gas in Bayside, Queens. So, you know, it's a struggle. It's a struggle every day. And so prayers for everyone in the tri-state area there. Thank you.
Todd Pym, I just wanted to share a joy with everybody. It's about 6-7 months ago, our oldest Jossie was diagnosed with scoliosis. And after therapy and x-rays, we just had a second set of x-rays, and there's been no change, so that's a very good thing. I just wanted to thank everyone for the good, you know, words and prayers for us. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Got one right over here. Maybe two.
Hi, Cherie Barrett, and I'd like prayers for my daughter, Lauren, who is pregnant with her second child, which she found out. Boy.
Yes.
And a condition that's arisen is requiring her to not walk for the remainder of pregnancy, which is kind of hard to do when you have a 4.5-year-old, so, and she's not due until March. So please keep her and her husband in prayers. Thank you.
I have a joy to share in our midst this morning is Wally Gordon, a member of our church years ago who traveled to Maryland and now lives on Seneca Lake, but he's visiting with us. So those of you who might have known Wally all the years, please greet him. And also his delightful friend, Kish Swift, is with him today.
Welcome.
So we welcome you back home.
Prayers of joy for all the visitors in our midst or those who are coming home again. We also have prayers of joy and concern from our children this morning. Prayers for a joy that a dad's coming home, and prayers of joy that one of our children is performing in the Nutcracker. Melina will be an angel. She'll make a good one. Prayers of joy is for horseback riding and dog sitting. Prayers for a cousin who's in the army. Prayers for a grandmother who needs help. Another prayer for a dad that's coming back, and also prayers for a friend who is having surgery. Those are the prayers, joys, and concern from our children in church school. Let us continue our time of prayer. Gracious God, you who guided Naomi and her family to look for bread in a foreign land, protect who are displaced due to famine, violence. May our brothers and sisters who are seeking shelter, food, clean water, and electricity following Hurricane Sandy find safety, warmth, and the generosity of others this day and in the months to come through the recovery effort. Holy God, may those who are grieving the loss of a spouse, a child, a friend, or family member, find the comfort individuals and communities who are willing to show your love to them. You are the God who not only commands us to love, but came into this world through your Son, so we might know that love firsthand. God, as we go into Election Day this week, We acknowledge that you are the God of our lives. Yet we also acknowledge that we entrust others with the responsibility of guiding our nation for the benefit of all. We come humbly to your table this day, knowing there are differences among us, knowing that we have a variety of opinions and perspectives, but we come knowing that we all are yours, your children for whom Christ died. We acknowledge that our lives are finally in your hands and in your keeping. Help us to live in the unity that Jesus commanded and the fellowship that you promised. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. This morning we have joyfully received. Let us now joyfully offer back to God a portion of the blessings. Let us worship with our morning offering.
Lord, bless our gifts and offerings. Show us the way to faithfulness as we apply these gifts to your glory. May we all be like Ruth, faithful and loyal to family, friends, and those we seek to serve. Amen.
Thank you.
Friends, we go from this place out into the world as those who are displaced and on a journey together. May we find the love and strength that God intends for each and every one of us, the grace and peace and forgiveness from Jesus Christ, and the courage from the Holy Spirit, now and always. Alleluia. Amen.